A reading from John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The word of God for the people of God.
Let us pray together. O one who comes on Christmas Day and every day, O one who comes in this place and all places, come now, we ask. Reveal to us your light, your love, and your word. And may the words that we hear be yours and not my own. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thursday, a week ago, we were entertaining another couple in the parsonage for dinner, and Paige had the apartment all decorated. As a matter of fact, she wrote the apartment decorating job descriptions. Hers was, make it beautiful. Mine was, don't mess it up. So there we were, and everything was so pretty. There was a fire in the fireplace and cheese on the table and the tree all aglow with light in the corner. We were having the nicest time when suddenly the lights on the tree went out, all of them at once. Every other light in the apartment stayed on, so it wasn't a breaker or anything. It's just the one thing that we wanted to glow most of all suddenly became dark, and it happened for the second time in 2 days. It had happened the day before, and Paige, with my job description, don't mess it up, had basically, when I started toward the tree, gone, back. And she disappeared under there and was, you know, doing whatever she's doing and checking strands of light and found the bad one, unplugged it. Suddenly the lights came back on, everything was fine. So here we are the next night, and it happened all over again. Obviously, we didn't fix it with the friends there. We went ahead with the evening, but the next day, she did what she did all over again. She disappears beneath the tree, looking for the bad strands, finally found a dead strand, unplugged it. The lights came back on. There were enough lights on the tree originally that you can't really tell that two strands have been removed. It looks absolutely fine. And so in one corner of our den, darkness has been overcome by light because someone entered the darkness and changed things. And that is exactly what John, in the prologue to his gospel, says Christmas is about. Unlike Matthew, John doesn't talk about an angel or a baby born of a virgin or wise men from the east with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Unlike Luke, John says nothing about Bethlehem or shepherds or a manger out back of the inn. John just talks about darkness and how someone came into the darkness to change things so that the light would come back on. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And that Word was the life of all humankind. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. John is not interested in how he got here. John is interested in what he did once he got here. And John says what he did was to crawl beneath the rubble of human darkness and turn the lights on. He entered human darkness with light. We understand human darkness, don't we? Especially at the end of December. I don't know. What we are experiencing probably wouldn't qualify as human darkness. That's a little dramatic, but I'll bet some of you are experiencing human weariness, aren't you? The to-do list still has things to do. This is December 24th. There's still planning to be done and people to contact. Last night on the news, it was talking about how tens of millions of Americans today will do their Christmas shopping. They'll flood the malls and the stores on December 24th, you know, thinking, probably ought to get started. And some of us, maybe, if we've done the shopping, you still have things to wrap and a turkey to bake, and guests are coming, ready or not, here they come. I was on Madison Avenue 2 weeks ago, and one of our city buses drove by, and on the side of the bus was a big sign. I hope some of you saw this. It said, "Santa is coming. So are your in-laws." We know about human weariness on December 24th. And you know, maybe we even know about human darkness too, because a lot of folks live in that. And if we don't live in that, we at least witness others living in it all the time. It is a rare week that somebody doesn't make the statement to me. And almost always they are intelligent, well-educated, sensitive people, very sensitive people. And they will say, "I've quit watching the news on TV because every day the news is worse than it was the day before, and it takes all the joy out of life for me." We get that, don't we? This reality of human darkness, accusations, scandals, investigations, corruption, political dysfunction, divisiveness and anger, fires out of control, illness, economy, North Korea. Their president has outlawed God. Who can outlaw God? It is decreed that if you want to worship someone in that country, you have to worship his grandmother. I think the little man actually believes he has that power. Threatening to blow up the world? Russia? Meddling in our system and all the systems of the whole free world? Sexism, racism, ageism, and on and on it goes, taking all the air out of the balloon. We understand what the Bible was talking about when it said people dwell in deep darkness. We know that kind of a world. But today we know something else. And that's what John was talking about in the passage you just heard read. We know that kind of a world ultimately will not win. Why? Because a light comes. A light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. And that's the promise. And John says if we keep the eyes of our hearts and the ears of our souls open, we begin to see evidences of that light and hear the stories. I was driving to church 2 Sundays ago to preach a sermon about the birth of hope in the season of Advent and all the rest. But I wasn't feeling very hopeful because it was a Sunday after the man tried to explode a bomb on the platform of the subway over at, what was it, 42nd Street, I think. And thank God there were no deaths. But, you know, it's living with that kind of a world. And And so here I am feeling profoundly negative as I drive to the home of positive thinking to be your preacher. And I said that. I expressed that to the taxi driver. We began to talk about the attempt of the explosion. And I said, what has happened to our world? Has everyone gone mad? What is going on in this world? And the driver, a very kind, sweet Hindu gentleman, said to me about the man who tried to explode the bomb, people like that live in the dark, but I don't think most people live in the dark. I believe there are more good people than bad. I believe, he said, 95% of people are good and 5% are bad, and we just hear about the 5%. You know what I think, mister, he said? I think there's still a lot of light in the world. About that time, we drove to the corner there, and I got out, and I walked in here aware that I had probably heard a better sermon from him than you were going to hear from me. And it was a heck of a lot shorter. But I think he was right. There are more good people in the world than bad people, a whole lot more. And the light does still shine in the darkness. It just doesn't get a lot of press, but that doesn't mean it stopped shining. And we can see it sometimes in ways so dramatic and powerful, they just bowl us over if the eyes of our heart and ears of our souls are open. This past week in the state of Washington, what a tragic moment when that train derailed and went over a bridge and landed on the highway below, and cars were trapped beneath it, and there were casualties and there were injuries. And I know that we continue to pray for the victims and their families. It was a heartbreaking story. But as is almost always the case in moments of tragedy, immediately we began to hear other stories, not so much heartbreaking as heroic. We began to hear stories of motorists who saw what happened when the train went over the bridge, and they stopped their cars. And they got out and began to run to the scene of the accident. They had no way of knowing that another car wouldn't come over the bridge and damage them. They had no way of knowing what was going on. They simply knew there are people in those cars and in those trains. And I don't know them. They're strangers to me. But they're trapped. And I'm going to risk my life to try and set them free. And they're injured. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to be their helper. And I began to hear those stories, and I said, yeah, John, that's it. That's what you're talking about. A light shines in the darkness. And if our eyes and ears are open, we see the light and hear the story. But it doesn't always have to be that dramatic, you know? It's not just these things that bowl you over. I think we see the light when we hear the more subtle stories, the common stories, the everyday stories that too often get overlooked. I must have seen this every day in December. But every time I see someone pause on a street corner and drop some money in a Salvation Army pot, every time I hear about Jewish or Muslim doctors and nurses who volunteer to work in the hospitals on Christmas so that their Christian colleagues can have the day to be with their family. Every time I think about a number of you who tomorrow will give up a part of your Christian day, your Christmas day, you're going to give it up to feed hungry people at a homeless shelter two blocks from here. Every time I think about folks who buy Santa gifts for children born into poverty, every time I think about folks who will take a poinsettia to a nursing center or bake a casserole for the person down the hall who has been sick and has nobody else, or will stand up and speak out for someone in our society who has no voice, or will sit down and listen to someone who feels left out and lonely. Every time I hear those stories, for me at least, the world is a little less dark and a little more bright, and Christmas happens. And maybe that is how it happens, this thing we call Christmas. Maybe it's not just some magnificent earth-changing phenomenon on December 25th once a year. Maybe it's those little stories every day throughout the year when light comes to dark places. And why? Because somebody believes that Jesus was born and Jesus mattered. And therefore, we want to do what he did to take a little kindness and a little encouragement, a little hope and a little love into the dark places and the broken people. They want to bring light. Isn't that what John was talking about? But John didn't say that the birth of Jesus just drives all the darkness out of the world like that. It's not the kind of world we live in. John said a light shines into that darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. In other words, ultimately, however dark things may feel to us, however shadowy the world may seem, however bad the moment may be, ultimately, God will win, because nothing can exterminate the light God sends. And if our eyes and ears, eyes of the heart, ears of the soul are open, we see those stories, we hear those stories, and usually they are the stories of people who believe there was a birth and the birth mattered, and because of that, I want to do what he did. Victoria Lancaster wrote, I thought, a lovely story in Pass It On magazine about a night when she was stranded in the snow on an out-of-the-way little highway in the Midwest, 2 hours from her destination. Her husband was driving their old, used Volvo wagon. In the back seat were their 2 sons, ages 4 and 2. And then in the front seat, there was Victoria, 7 months pregnant at the time. They were on a 2-lane highway, she said, in the middle of nowhere. And it was snowing, and the Volvo decided, I'm done. And it stopped, and they couldn't get it started. And the snow is falling, and the children are saying, how much further is it? How much further is it? How much further is it? The husband gets out and opens the hood and begins to look, and he doesn't know what he's doing anymore than I would, pulling things and pushing things all fruitlessly. And she said, there was nothing around. It was a desolate area, with the exception that way up in the corner of the highway, there was one house, just one house. One small white frame farmhouse. And the reason I knew it was there, she said, is because every window in the house was glowing with Christmas lights. More Christmas lights than anything since a Christmas Vacation movie. It was just aglow with light. And her husband was trying to get the engine to go, and she was wrapping her children in blankets. And the door to that little house opened. She said, out stepped a grandfatherly looking gentleman who very slowly made his way down the road in the snow, went around the front of the car, chatted with her husband, came around to the window, and he said to her, you and those children are going to get sick if you sit out here in the cold. My wife's a great cook. She just finished dinner. She always cooks like we're having 50 people in. Never knew why. Maybe you're it. Why don't you bring your family and have some dinner with us? And she said, he led us to the house, and then he and his wife treated us like we were their family. They fed us. They laughed and played with our children. They treated us like their home was our home. Meanwhile, he got on the phone, called a mechanic friend of his, and he said, I know it's nighttime. I know it's snowing. But these people are stranded. Can you come out? And so he brought his tow truck to get their car. Meanwhile, she called a friend of hers, Victoria did, who lived a reasonable distance, told her what was going on. This friend late in the evening came, picked the family up, took them 2 hours to their destination. 2 days later, the farmer and his wife from that little house in the corner of the road drove 2 miles to deliver their repaired Volvo wagon to them. Victoria concluded the article she wrote by saying, it became clear to me that the brightest lights shining from that farmhouse were the people who lived inside it. A light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. It is the light of Christ born into our world, born into places of shadows and suffering, places of heartache and hard times, and the world cannot put that light of love out. And some of the time, perhaps most of the time, that light shines through people who believe in Him. It became clear to me that the brightest lights shining from that farmhouse were the people who lived inside it. You and I get to be part of that. We don't just have to read the Christmas story. A light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. We get to be part of the Christmas story. We get to do what Jesus did, to do what those people did, to do what quiet anonymous heroes do. We get to bring light to dark places. Every time we make softer a hard existence, every time we make kinder an angry world, every time we bring hope to someone who has given in to despair, every time we bring love to somebody who feels not only unloved, but maybe unnoticed, the world's a little less dark and a little more light, and Christmas happens. And we get to be part of it. I mean, I can't imagine anything better today, tomorrow, or ever than you and I don't just read the birth story of Jesus. We're in it. As long as we're light that floods its way into dark places. That's what John was talking about. How Jesus comes and crawls into the rubble and turns the lights back on. A light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. So here's my Christmas wish for you. May you be bathed in the light of Bethlehem's star. And may other people, one life at a time, one person at a time, one need at a time, find that light through you. Merry Christmas.